It's All About Food with Karen Hartglass, Wednesdays at 3 p.m. on the Progressive Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Karen Hartglass, and this is It's All About Food. Thanks for joining me today. We have a really fun show. We're going to be talking about the brand new up-and-coming New York City Vegetarian Food Festival, and I'm going to be talking with Sarah Gross and Neera Palawoda. Sarah Gross, which you may know because we've had her on the show before, is the founder of the charitable vegan chocolate company Rescue Chocolate, and she's teamed up with Neera, a fellow foodie and event planner, to create the premier New York City Vegetarian Food Festival. Foodies, locavores, vegetarians, vegans, flexitarians, and those who simply want to find out more about living a healthy, sustainable lifestyle. Well, this is the festival for you. Vegetarian food companies, restaurants, and health and wellness vendors will congregate in New York City to celebrate the delight of vegetarian food and cruelty-free living for New York City Vegetarian Food Festival. The festival will feature food sampling and meals from New York City's top vegetarian restaurants and food companies, vegetarian animal welfare information tables, a raffle benefiting Empty Cages Collective, and live entertainment and activities throughout the day. It's free admission, and there'll be free samples, and it has never been a better time to see for yourself what the vegetarian buzz is all about. And that's what we'll be talking about today. Welcome, Sarah and Neera.
Hi.
Okay, so this is going to be fun talking to two of you at the same time, but we'll work it all out. So, first question, what's the point? Why do we need a vegetarian food festival in New York City?
Well,
go ahead, Sarah.
New York City is the city that has everything. It has food festivals devoted to the most obscure items, and then we don't have anything for the growing population of vegetarians. There's cities around the country that New York City vegetarians are jealous of because they've got these amazing festivals year after year, and here we are like, where should we go this year? Buy our plane ticket to go to a vegetarian festival. So finally, New York City is getting its own, and we are planning already 2012, so this is not a flash in the pan.
Okay, sounds good. You want to add to that, Neera?
Well, it's also important because New York City is really the place where most things happen, and for some reason, this just has never happened before. And, you know, it's just one of those things where it seemed like an obvious fit. So Sarah and I, you know, for some reason saw it, and nobody else kind of did. and we're really excited to be able to put it together, and it's coming along amazingly.
Okay, so what are the events planned for the day?
We have amazing speaker series that's happening. Dr. Neil Bernard is our keynote speaker this year. And we also have some food demos and live music, food contests, and wonderful other events such as yoga and belly dancing.
Okay, that sounds pretty good.
It's not just about food. It's just about having fun and celebrating vegetarian lifestyle.
We're creating a panel. It's kind of like a vegan how-to panel, and I think that's really central to what we want to do with the festival, just let people know all these questions that they have, you know, erase their doubts about, can this be a sustainable way to live? Like, how is it done? So we've got a panel of experts, and we've got a good chunk of time where people can just ask questions. We also have some guided questions. Like, we've been hearing from our Facebook fans. We ask, what do you want to know? Because for us, everything seems kind of like, you know, being a vegetarian for a while, it seems obvious. But
yeah, there's certainly a lot of things seem obvious to some of us who have been doing it for a while. Some people, when they
make the discovery about what's going on with our food and with factory farming and animal agriculture. Some people just go cold turkey, if you excuse the expression. But for some people, it's really a challenge. And I'm not exactly sure why that is, because I've been doing it for decades. But for some people, they just can't imagine a world without meat, without cheese, without butter. And it's hard.
Right.
Well, for that, like, it's people like myself who have grown up in life in a carnivorous household. I just wasn't educated. And, you know, and one of the reasons that we put on the festival is also to educate people with what is available around them so that they know what restaurants they can go to and how to live that type of lifestyle. Because if you're not exposed to it growing up, it's somewhat difficult.
So who are some of the people on this expert panel?
We have, Nira, you have it in front of you.
I know that running an event like this is a huge undertaking, and there are so many different details. You know, I've done it myself, and I applaud both of you, but there's a lot of many things to keep track of.
One we have that on the top of my head is Allende Howell. And he's an executive chef. He's created the menu over at Jiva Mukti Cafe and others. And he was recently featured in the New York Times. He created these, like, vegan enchiladas that were going around and around. People were going crazy over them. So he's recently gotten some notoriety of the good type, and he'll be one of our panelists.
As a what type?
Of the good type, a good kind of notoriety for his delicious recipe.
Great. Okay, so a chef, that's great, because chefs have all the good tips and tricks about what to do in the kitchen. And certainly some of these chefs prepare things really quickly because they've got to get a lot of things out in a short amount of time. So they have a lot of knowledge to share.
And people have been asking, like, what are alternative protein sources? Because I've heard a lot of bad things about soy. Because when you become vegetarian, a lot of people are like, well, I guess I just will have a soy hot dog and a soy burger and a soy chicken. So it will be good to get his take on all these different things you can try.
You know, that's really funny. What the media and what marketing can do and how important it is for information like this to get out. But, you know, decades ago, nobody knew anything about soy. Nobody knew anything about meat alternatives. And, okay, so now they've definitely gotten a foothold in the market and more people know about them, and that gives an opportunity for some of these products to get trashed for people that don't want you going that way or don't want them supported. And then so you get all this misinformation about how dangerous soy is. But I do want to say it's great that there are these soy products out there. I always have to put out my little infomercial on soy. So I will do that right now. Take a short break while I do a soy commercial. So there are healthy soy products. Those are the ones that are organic, not genetically modified, and simply processed. So those are the actual soybeans that you can cook yourself from dried beans, or edamame that are frequently served in Japanese restaurants. Most of the simple soy milks that don't have a lot of additives in them, tofu and tempeh and miso. But then when we get into these more sophisticated, highly processed products, the soy hot dogs and the burgers, things that contain isolated soy protein. These are foods that really shouldn't be eaten regularly. They're kind of fun for a celebration, for a treat, but the highly processed foods really aren't the health foods. But they are fun to have sometimes, and certainly help a lot of people that are transitioning away from meat when they have that meat craving. It's a good alternative.
That's how I began. I definitely, in the first year or two, had a lot of soy hot dogs and burgers. Now it's just not something that I crave, but it was really helpful at first.
Right. Yeah, so that's what they're good for. And I do like, you know, on July 4th or something, when I want to have something that brings back memories of earlier days and barbecues and things, you know, it's nice to throw a burger or a hot dog on the Barbie. Okay, so enough about soy. Good. So it's good that there'll be people that will be talking about that. Anybody else on the panel that's got some good information to bring?
There's Amy Valpone. Mm-hmm. She's a Manhattan-based culinary marketing consultant, and she also does a ton of stuff for Big Apple of NYC. So she's going to be talking about, obviously, how to bring about transition into the balanced vegan world. And then the other panelist that we have is Yoli Oya. She's the operator of a boutique eco lifestyle outfit called Uya. Mm-hmm. And she's also currently on the junior board of New York Coalition for Healthy School Lunches, which is something that, you know, we are also trying to bring awareness to with our program. There is a structure to our program that centers around family and kids as well, and trying to also initiate New York City healthy school systems by bringing in vegan and vegetarian dishes.
Mm, yeah, it's a really good organization.
Mm-hmm.
So on the subject of kids, are there going to be things for kids to do at this festival?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We have a morning program that's centered on that, and Cricket Azima is an amazing kid chef, and she is doing a hands-on cooking demo for children 4 to 8, starting at 11 o'clock. And also prior to that, there's going to be a vegan parenting talk with Chloe Jo Davis and I'm totally blanking on who else. Who was that a person?
Oh, Alexandra Jamieson.
Oh, there we go. Alexandra Jamieson. There's so much going on. Who are going to be talking about vegan parenting as well, so that, you know, children are going to be hopefully geared in the right direction.
Mm-hmm. Very good. So something for the parents, something for the kids.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Yeah, I know there are just so many topics, and where basically the information isn't that hard. There's just something deep inside us, for a lot of us, that think it's hard. And so different steps in life come along, and we think, oh, my God, how can I be a vegan when I'm doing this or that? Like, if I want to raise a family, how do I do it? Or if I want to run a marathon, how do I do it? Or I'm getting older, maybe, you know, I need meat or fish or something. And it keeps creeping back in. So information for all ages is really important.
I think it's really deeply embedded in our society. Like, so many things you've been told growing up, like, in order to be an athlete and run a marathon, you're going to need to drink milk. If you want to, like, be pregnant, you have to have your animal products, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's probably why all of the confusion, it's just so deep in our society.
How did you decide on the location where you're having it, and where are you having this event?
We're having it at the Altman Building, which is in the heart of Chelsea in New York City on 18th Street between 6th and 7th. And we painstakingly went around scouting locations earlier in the fall. And the Altman Building is just such a gorgeous venue, two floors, and just was the best place for it. We really wanted to have the venue centrally located so that it's easy for people to get to. And and Chelsea and that area is just seems to be the best place.
Yeah, it's very easily accessible. People don't have to go out of their way at all. We want people to just stumble upon it, come in, talk to
themselves. Okay, that's great. Well, I'm looking at the website right now, nycvegfoodfest.com, nycvegfoodfest.com, and let's see who else is going to be here. Chef Cindy Avila?
Yes.
And did you mention her already?
Nope.
No. What? tell me about her. I'm not familiar with her.
Do you want me to take this?
Yeah, sure, Anira, go.
I don't even know. She's really done a lot of things in the media with respect to cooking, meat-free cooking classes. She's been featured on the Food Network, CBS, TLC, and she has her own series called The Green Goddess.
Mm.
Yeah, she is going to be talking about how the media projects veganism.
Yeah, that should be interesting. It's a mixed bag at this point. At least they're talking about veganism in the media from time to time. Certainly not mm-hmm. often enough for me. Whereas some while ago, nobody was saying anything. So it's taken 20, 30 years.
I think any publicity, like they say, is good publicity.
Yeah, don't read your press. Weigh it.
We were all so excited when Oprah was doing her whole vegan show, and as you probably know, it was a little disappointing, but in the end, at least it puts vegan out there.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up. It really amazes me. Okay, Oprah is this media god or goddess, if we have to genderize the word, and she has so much power and so much money and so many people behind her, and I don't watch her show very often, only if there's somebody I'm really interested that might be on. But it was disappointing, and it could have been so amazing. And I just don't get it. What was the point of doing it, and why?
I am thinking it was going to be a way better show, but then all of her lawyers circled around her and said, we don't want another lawsuit from the meat industry.
And maybe.
They just bowed down to the meat industry this time. That was clearly what happened. They had that representative who said, Cargill loves vegans. And so it was just totally flipped around.
Yeah. Isn't that unfortunate? So, what do we do about that? I guess we just have food fests and other events and radio shows, places where we can get our information out and hopefully sway the masses.
Absolutely.
It's a difficult thing because so many people are swayed or educated by the television and other media sources, and there's so much misinformation out there.
Yeah.
It's how, I'm always trying to figure out, is there a way to put the information out where people will trust it? And I want to think that we're moving in the right direction. I want to think there's more of us out there, and the truth will get out there just because that's the nature of truth. But sometimes it can be really frustrating, and Oprah has disappointed me.
Right. That was disappointing. But then you remember, like, last year there were a few mainstream books that became bestsellers, like Eating Animals.
Right.
And Jonathan Safran Foer, I was able to listen to him, presenting his book, and he's just such a rational voice. Like, it's just not emotional at all. It's just the facts, and you just can't argue with it. And the more, articulate people like that are spreading the word, it's wonderful.
I guess that's just what we need. We really need to flood the market, because I was so excited when that book came out, Jonathan Safran Foer, Eating Animals. It was a great book, and I agree with you. And I loved when he was on the talk shows and how, as they always do on talk shows, they want to get drama going. They want to get sensational. They want to embarrass and humiliate,
right.
Which is, I guess, their cheap form of entertainment. But they couldn't rattle him. He was just always poised and solid and unemotional, and I loved that about him. And he was so informed, he always took the high road in answering the questions with really powerful responses, didn't play on their distractions. And sometimes he would call it just that when they would ask a certain question. One of my favorites being things like, don't plants feel pain? And I was talking about that a bit this week because there was an article in the New York Times that came out, an essay. I don't know if either of you caught it, but this woman was sort of musing on whether or not she should eat animals or not, because she started to think about plants feeling pain, and we should consider their exploitation and their experience. And sure, you know, I want to be mindful and think about everything and not just assume one thing or another, but I thought it was such an irresponsible article because there are just so many things that we do know for certain that are absolutely horrific for the environment, horrific for health, and horribly cruel. So when books like Jonathan Safran Foer come out, they're really great, but we need more of them because nobody's talking about that book anymore.
Yeah, that's true. But I think it's still selling pretty well, and I feel like it's still out there on the bookshelves.
That's true, and it's that bright green color. I've had a number of people mention it to me in the recent past, saying, I saw this book. Do you know about it?
Mm-hmm.
Like, yes,
maybe
read it now.
Next year.
Yeah, well,
definitely.
I think it...
That would be great, because I think he's based in Brooklyn.
He's in Brooklyn. Yeah, he's hard to get, though. I've tried.
Okay, well, we'll all work on him. We're putting out the call right now. It's 2012.
Right, good. So let's see, what other exciting people do we have? You have Jasmine Singer, who's giving a talk. What does she do?
We do. She founded a nonprofit called Our Hen House, and she calls it kind of like a clearinghouse to find your way to help animals in the world. So it's this website that's got all of these different forms of interaction. She makes videos. She posts blogs. She has all this information about different issues, the ways that we treat animals and use animals, and ways that you can help and not feel powerless when you see like what we're doing. So she's a great voice for the animals, and she's just giving a little talk. It's called Don't Let the Donut Do the Talking. I think it's going to be a little inspirational bit about, you know, veganism can definitely work with your lifestyle, you know, however you like to live, and it's not something difficult once you learn the ropes a little bit.
And then I've met Jasmine. I don't know her very well, but I definitely should have her come on the show and talk about her work.
That'd be great.
And then there's Kathy Stevens, and I've talked to her numerous times. She's really a great speaker and inspirational. Do you want to tell everyone about her?
Well, she's the founder and director of the Catskill Animal Sanctuary, and she also has a book out called Where the Blind Horse Sings, and another one, Animal Camp, Lessons in Love and Hope from Rescue Farm Animals. And she just has an inspirational story that she'll talk about. And one of the things that we are also going to be featuring is a number of different animal sanctuaries from different regions. So it's also a festival to discuss, you know, that aspect of the lifestyle of helping animals and helping these sanctuaries succeed.
You know, this show is called It's All About Food, and that's because food affects so many things in our lives and so many things that we take for granted. And certainly animal sanctuaries are just a small piece they exist because, well, over 60 billion land animals a year are raised for food in these horrific, cramped, filthy conditions. And some of them, sometimes, from food industries and from other industries, sometimes people just hoard animals in their homes for strange reasons and don't take care of them. Some of these animals manage to escape or get are rescued, and they need a place to go. And it may seem insignificant or a drop in the bucket that, you know, just a few hundred of these animals can be rescued when there are literally billions that are abused every year. But it's a beautiful thing because they're all, each individual, and you learn this from Kathy Stevens' books and other books out there, or when you go to these sanctuaries and meet them, you see how beautiful they are and how sensitive they are. And it's just an amazing experience saving and rescuing so many precious lives.
I've heard from a lot of people that that was what tipped, for instance, their spouse over the line. Like, just going to a farm sanctuary really changes people's minds.
Yeah. So they're really important. You know, sometimes I think, oh, my God, they're just it's just a drop in the bucket. They're hardly doing anything at all this time and energy. But like you said, people have the opportunity to meet them. And sometimes, you know, I like to use these big numbers like 60 billion because they're huge, but they're really hard to understand. And I think we really get numb when we talk about numbers all the time, even though it's devastating. But when we get down to an individual level and we hear an individual person's story or an individual animal story, we really can relate, and it can be very powerful to have to make us make these significant life changes.
Very true.
Yeah. So have you been to any of the sanctuaries in New York? There are a few of them.
I went to Woodstock Farm Animal Sanctuary. And it was for their Thanksgiving celebration.
Right.
They bring in all of the most delicious gourmet vegan food for Thanksgiving feast, and they've got a nice speaker series themselves on that day, and then they bring out the turkeys, and it's like a celebration of them. It was wonderful to be there.
Yeah, well, Thanksgiving is a really important holiday, especially for vegans and vegetarians. And I think it's a holiday that ties it all up, all the messages in one, and to be really thankful for everything that we have, including the food on our plate. And it just seems the strangest thing, while we're saying thanks and being grateful, we put this plop of exploitation and torture as the centerpiece.
Exactly.
And so it's great that all these different events for Thanksgiving are popping up by different organizations. A lot of different groups all over the country have their turkey-free Thanksgiving events.
Those are so great. Such a comfort once you become vegetarian and then you find those, and it's like more comforting than Thanksgiving ever was.
Well, you know, I love food, and I most of the vegans and vegetarians I know are kind of obsessed crazy about food, and we love all of our food, and Thanksgiving is one of those times where I eat a pretty clean diet, and so Thanksgiving is an indulging time where I eat more heavy comfort-type foods. I like mashed potatoes, but usually when I make them, they're just boiled potatoes, and I don't put anything in them. Thanksgiving, I kind of go a little over and add some rich soy margarines or have a rich dark gravy. Of course, it's not animal-based. It'll have mushrooms and other great vegetable ingredients.
That's the way to do it.
Yeah, and it's all the great pies, and it's just the food is so great. I always look forward to it. So it's just great that there are so many opportunities and a lot of great cookbooks that support Thanksgiving food. I just go nuts over it. So that's a good thing. Then there's Victoria Moran you're having speak, and she's really an inspirational speaker.
Oh, yeah. I got one of her books, actually. I'm making my way through it. So I'm really excited now to, I mean, both Nira and I are like, we want to see everything that we're putting on both of the stages, and we're going to be running around, but I really hope we can.
Yeah, well, let me warn you, it's going to be like a wedding where you don't remember any of it.
Yeah, we're hoping to get a videographer so that we can sit down and watch everything afterwards and relive the experience.
Well, I want to talk more about Victoria Moran and why her message is so important, especially when it comes to transitioning to a plant-based diet. But you know what? We have to take a little break. So let's take our break, and we'll be right back.
All right.
Listening to PRN, Progressive Radio Network.
Hey, Lee.
Yeah, Jeff.
Your girlfriend gave another interview.
No, don't play it.
Listen to this.
I have a journalism degree. That is what I studied. I understand that this cornerstone of our democracy is a free press.
Shut it off! I said not to play it!
We are in the worst reality show in history.
Why won't she shut up?
You know she's going to be president, right?
Okay, stop it. That's not funny. That's not funny!
I think we should just go limp. Lay back. Maybe then the Mama Grizzly won't tear off your limbs.
Cheater in the Rude, Thursdays, 8 p.m., Progressive Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Allison Rose Levy. I've been a health journalist for 25 years. I'm currently blogging on the Huffington Post. After more than two decades of studying, talking about, exchanging, and reporting on integrative well-being and collective psychology, I think we're ready to step up to the next level. On Connect the Dots, we're going to reach beyond the merely individual look at health to look at the community, societal, and global level of what we need to address to better our health. Please join me Saturdays at noon Eastern Standard Time on the Progressive Radio Network, and I look forward to dialoguing with you.
Hi, Progressive Radio fans. I'm Betsy Rosenberg, and I do a program here on the network called The Green Front, as in reporting from the green front lines. That's where I've been for more than a decade, covering a beat that I think is fun, fascinating, fact-filled, and sometimes even kind of funny. Or not, when you consider the implications of our world-class denial here in America. The Green Front is an ostrich-free zone, though, where I select the most interesting and passionate eco-innovators out there and bring them to you live each Wednesday at 2 p.m. Eastern. So join me as we wake up America with the activists, authors, experts, and ordinary citizens out there making an extraordinary green difference.
You are listening to PRN, Progressive Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Karen Hartglass, and you're listening to It's All About Food. I'm here with Sarah Gross and Neera Palawoda, and we're talking about the upcoming New York City Veg Food Fest, which is going to be a really fun, exciting event. And we're talking right now about some of the experts who are going to be speaking at the event. And we were talking about Victoria Moran. She's written a number of really great inspirational books. And what I wanted to talk about, especially related to Victoria, is that for many people, thinking about changing a diet brings out all kinds of other problems in one's life. And some might focus on the diet, but I think it's the other way around, where wanting to make the change, you realize you have all these other difficulties, and then you have a hard time changing the diet because these other problems come up. So what are some of them? Like, if you're in a relationship and the partner doesn't support your change, it can be really hard to change your diet when someone you care about is eating completely different foods.
I know firsthand.
And so it brings up the fact that you have issues in your relationship with communication and support and respect. It makes it harder to make the diet change, but I think you need to go backwards a little and evaluate what's really going on between you and the other person.
Mm-hmm.
It also brings up all kinds of social issues, not just with someone you're in a relationship with, but your family at these events. We were talking about Thanksgiving, and there are so many different wonderful traditions, and when you come along and you don't want to eat some of the traditional foods or participate in that way, the family gets offended. And again, it comes down to, I don't think it's the food, but I think it's, you know, how do you communicate and express yourself to your loved ones so that they understand you and respect you?
Right.
Mm-hmm. So Victoria, she talks a lot about filling the hole in one center.
Mm-hmm.
And some people find they need to fill that emptiness with food. And some people gain weight as a result of that. And so she talks about filling that emptiness with love for yourself. She addresses some really important issues.
Yeah, The Love Powered Diet is her book.
Mm-hmm. So it's really great. There are so many different topics to cover when it's related to food, and I talk a lot about them on this show. And there's two angles, and there's the scary fear side, because what's going on is absolutely horrible in factory farms today. Absolutely horrible. All of these precious beings tortured from birth till death, separated from their families. They can't move around. They've got sores, and they're unhealthy, and they're fed garbage and excrement, literally. They're diseased. It's just a nightmare of a story. And then we talk about the environment, how we're using up all of the Earth's precious resources and polluting the air and the water. And a significant contributor to all of this is animal agriculture. And people continue to keep their heads in the sand about it. But growing plants is a lot cleaner than growing plants that we ultimately inefficiently feed animals to feed people. It's a step in the process that should totally be eliminated. And then, of course, there's our health. And mm-hmm. in America today, our healthcare system is broken, and so many people have diseases that are totally unnecessary. We know the cause. Heart disease, diabetes, mm-hmm. type 2 diabetes, and many cancers. It's just a very dark, ugly story. Okay, so we can talk about it, and it's important that we do. But I prefer, overall, to stay on the bright side. And it's something mm-hmm. that Victoria Moran does, and I like it a lot. And I like to focus on all of the beautiful things about a plant-based diet. The food we know is fabulous. The food is delicious. We know that we have more energy. We look fabulous. And it's just a lifestyle centered on joy.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I like to focus on.
I do, too. I
you
always
do.
Say, how old do you think I am? And people always
10.
Say, way, way younger than I really am. So I attribute that, and I think you do too, Karen, to
yeah.
being a vegan.
Yep.
It keeps you young.
It does, you know, inside and out. I say this a lot, but a lot of people talk who are meat eaters say, you know, I like my meat, and we're all going to die, so, you know, what does it matter? And the thing is, it does matter, because you may not realize it until you do it. You don't know how good you can feel. For so many people, the body is amazing at all the crap it can take in. And a lot of people have a high tolerance for pain, accepting all these different aches and pains in their neck and their ankles and their knees and their joints, stomach indigestion and headaches. And for the most part, those things can go away in weeks simply by changing what you eat. It's just amazing. You just don't know how good you can feel.
This is true. I mean, you just get used to feeling a certain way. For me, I was a trained ballet dancer, so I just got used to feeling sore all day,
mm-hmm.
every day. But then you feel so free once you have a little you know, rest your body. And that's how it is with eating vegan. Your body has more energy because it's not spending it all on digestion all day.
Yeah, there's some good proof of that, too. Brendan Brazier, who is an incredible vegan athlete, he writes in his books, I think the thing that he discovered, in addition to a lot of other benefits to plant foods, was the recovery period between workouts was significantly shorter when he was on a plant-based diet, because it's just so much easier for the body to process plant foods and use the energy from them efficiently. The body has to work a lot harder when it takes in animal food. And so when you're an athlete, to recover more quickly from a workout means you can work out more and get stronger faster and get better faster. And I thought that was, there's just so many interesting angles that I hear from a lot of the people that you have coming to the festival from their experiences and their books. And that's why it's great to be able to have exposure to a lot of different people in one setting, because there are so many different angles, so many different stories, but they all point to the same thing. The benefits of a plant-based diet are so, so powerful. Okay, I want to talk now about the food that's going to be at your event. You have some exhibitors that will be sampling some interesting foods?
Oh, yeah.
You've got to save up for the whole weekend for this festival.
Who's going to be there? What are we going to try?
Well, there's going to be about 70 different exhibitors, and many of them are going to be food, of course. So we're excited because we have Cinnamon Snail is coming. So
what are they? What do they do?
This is a vegan food truck. It's about a year old. It's like they normally park themselves in New Jersey, and occasionally New York gets the pleasure of the Cinnamon Snail, but you can't even imagine. It's like such gourmet entrees and snacks and just like the most incredible menus, and it changes like every couple of weeks. And once you've had it, you're going to be tracking that truck on Twitter all day long.
so it's like a vendor truck that moves around?
Yes, and it's going to be parked. We're getting a street permit so that it can park right in front of the Altman building, and it will greet people as they come and go from the festival.
That sounds like fun. And who else is going to be there?
Inside, there's going to be restaurants like Loving Hut, who are featuring their vegan macaroni and cheese.
Oh, great.
Which is very exciting. And there's other restaurants like the V-Spot, which is a New York
I haven't been there. Have you been to that restaurant?
Yeah. I live in Park Slope, which is where the restaurant is, so I have no excuse to not go. I love it, though. It's got
I was going to go once, and I didn't get to it, and I've looked at the menu online, and it looks like a great place.
Yeah, they've got a good mix of different items, but the owners are part Colombian, so it's got kind of like Latin vegan food. It's very good.
Okay.
And then I live in Williamsburg, and our representation is Food Swing, which is coming, so we're excited about them.
What's interesting about Food Swings, and I'm sure it's really popular with the young people, is I was there very early on, but I don't think it's changed very much. But they serve up all of the fast food favorites, all the fried whatever you want, but they make it vegetarian.
Exactly. And it's all vegan. The milkshakes, the french fries, the burgers.
Yeah, it's classic American fast food without the cruelty.
Mm-hmm. Right. I actually recently had a gyro from there, vegan gyro. So that was amazing.
Right, and Philadelphia cheesesteaks and things like that. Yeah.
And then there's other vendors like Coconut Bliss.
Delicious.
It's going to be there, yes. My mouth is watering just thinking about it, especially since hopefully by then the weather will change and we'll have sunshine.
We'll want ice cream to cool off.
Yes. We have, like, local startups also because we like to support cottage businesses. So there's a startup called Split Snacks, which is like edamame and soy products. Mm. There's, gosh, there's so many. I'm just, Sarah, you're going to have to help me, like, fill in the blank.
Yeah, well, we have some chocolate represented. Besides Rescue Chocolate, we also have a company called Pacari and Gnosis Chocolate, which is based in the Long Island City. It's a raw chocolate. I'll cover the sweet stuff. We also have Liz Lovely Cookies. Which, Karen, do you know about Liz Lovely Cookies?
I don't. Liz Lovely.
God. Cult following Liz Lovely Cookies. For instance, my sister who lives in Milwaukee, apparently for a while she couldn't, like, find any stores with Liz Lovely, so she would have, like, a package shipped to her from Liz Lovely, like, every couple of months because these cookies are, like, enormous. Coated in chocolate, they're, like, 10 times better than any Girl Scout cookie. They're like,
oh, they're very indulgent.
Yeah, they're
Liz Lovely's.
As good as you can get.
I'm clicking over to her website just to take a look at some of them. It's interesting that you brought up Girl Scout cookies. I'm kind of on a rampage about them recently because I went to their website and read the ingredients. And, you know, I'm not against having sweets and treats. I don't think that we should have them as our mainstay, but we all deserve sweets and treats, and cookies are great. But there's absolutely no reason to use high fructose corn syrup and trans fats and animal products. And, yeah, they should be organic. They should be vegan. And they taste so much better when you use real ingredients.
Absolutely. You can taste it. It's just real.
Right, and I love, I'm reading here, they use fair trade ingredients. This is great. Mm-hmm. And they've got some gluten-free. This is the way to go, and I just wish that some of the institutions in our country would take the lead rather than be left behind.
Right. Yeah, I mean, mm-hmm. all of the resources are out there. If companies are interested in, you know, doing a more modern business with fair trade ingredients and organic items, and it's all there, and it's becoming more accessible, more affordable because it is becoming more popular, but
and more in demand,
like,
too.
The Girl Scouts are a little behind.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we feel as people get you know, more educated and more aware that the demand is just going to be there for them to hopefully change their ways. But it all comes down to education and taking a step forward.
Right. So you have some raw food vendors, too?
We have, well, we've got the Raw Ice Cream Company.
Yeah.
In addition to Gnosis Chocolate, which is raw. We've got kombucha. We've got a couple of kombucha companies, Kombucha yes. Brooklyn and Bao Kombucha. So I don't know. Are you a kombucha fan?
I'm not, but can you tell us a little bit about it? I know it's gotten a little bit of information in the press lately, especially because
yeah.
it has a little alcohol in it.
Well, what happened, there was this one kombucha company, which is not part of the festival, but they were testing it and they found that, I mean, kombucha, what it is, it's fermented tea. So
mm-hmm.
this one brand, the tea just got too fermented because apparently when it's not in refrigeration for a certain period of time, it just
it'll just keep
more
fermenting.
Fermented. Yeah.
Mm.
So so their tea ended up getting pretty alcoholic. And I actually had an experience with that. Like, I was trying, it's GT's kombucha, so I was trying it, and, like, the first time I had it, and I don't drink alcohol at all, but so I drank some of this kombucha, and I was like, whoa, I'm really feeling woozy and knocked out here. Wait, I want some more. So kombucha, its followers really, I mean, not because it makes you, like, feel drunk, but it does kind of give you a sense of well-being, and it's a little bit effervescent, and it has all these claims on the bottle, like it helps digestion and
right.
all these different things because of the fermentation. But it yeah. is—it's just a—it's a more natural, like fizzy drink that's tasty.
And actually, we have one of our speakers, Dr. Rob Streisfeld. His talk is going to be covering functional fermented foods. Mm. So people who are curious about what does it mean to be fermented and what are the health benefits to them, need to go and listen to him.
Great.
Trying to cover all topics.
So we'll learn more.
I see you have Earth Balance is going to be an exhibitor.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Great. I'm a big Earth Balance user. They make a wonderful soy margarine it's a mixture of a number of different oils, but mm-hmm. really good. I buy the organic version.
Yeah. It's like kind of no guilt because it's not hydrogenated. It's totally vegan. It's a great product.
Mm-hmm. And let's see. Who else do we have here?
We actually have also, like, one of the people who is doing a food demo is people from Beyond Sushi, which is a kosher sushi company from Esprit Events. And they're going to be showing, as well as having a table, they're going to be showing how to make amazing vegetarian organic sushi.
That's great, and it's kind of timely because with the unfortunate thing happening in Japan, people aren't going to be wanting to buy the fish from the tainted waters, and although when there's radioactive contamination, it affects everything, but it accumulates a lot faster in animal fat than it does in plants, and so a plant sushi option is a superior option to a fish sushi.
Right, and mm-hmm. it's kind of a skill to learn how to make the sushi, so that's a really good item to have as a cooking demonstration.
What I love about him, I'm really into finger food and sandwich alternatives. People always ask, what can I take to lunch? And so I'm really into a variety of different rolls, things that you can wrap and roll. And sushi is one of them. You can cut them and put them in a container and take it with you, or just leave it as the whole roll and
right.
snack on it that way. They're really good. Sushi's good. Well, it's not even sushi. It's really maki.
You buy your whole, like, sheet of seaweed and wrap it up at home?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good idea. I got to start doing that.
Yeah, it is. I'm always trying to think of any angle for me. It's any angle to get somebody to think about plant food versus their standard diet.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, mm-hmm. So are there... So the event is free.
It is.
And
it's free general admission.
General admission. Mm-hmm. But there are VIP packages, things that some people might be interested in if they want to get a front row view of the event. What do you have planned there?
Yes, we have two options. One is just VIP tickets, which give you priority access to the event and also priority access to the speakers on a first availability basis. Obviously, it is an indoor venue, so unfortunately we don't have as much space as we would love if we have tons of people watching the speakers coming down. So mm-hmm. having VIP ticket holding is, I think, an amazing alternative if you want to indulge in it. It's only $20. And then if you want to also have a wonderful gift bag, which we have accumulated different products and prizes, such as I mentioned before that we're going to have belly dancing. You get a belly dancing class, a free belly dancing class, different products for some of the vendors, coupons, and wonderful little surprises that you can find listed on the website. And the VIP pass with the gift bag is just $50.
Okay. We didn't even talk about music. There's going to be music there, too.
Yes. We have a performance with Maya Sullivan Bay. She is an amazing singer who sings in many languages, actually, Portuguese and English. And she also happens to be a foodie herself. She sometimes does shows where she actually does a cooking segment as well as perform. And her voice is amazing, and she's a worldwide performer. So we're really happy to have her come.
And what time will she be performing?
She is performing, I believe, I think it's at 2 o'clock.
Very good. So, again, I want to mention the website, nycvegfoodfest.com. I'm looking right now at the 2011 prizes. And,
yeah, we had a great raffle.
Yeah,
so
there are
some, the end.
Some really good ones here. There's a $300 cooking lesson with Gilda Mulero, a natural foods cooking chef and instructor. All kinds of fun, different gifts here that you might want to check out. So this looks like a really fun event, and I wish you both a lot of patience and energy before April 3rd and during that day.
Thank you. And adrenaline.
What if people want to volunteer?
They can email us. Our email address is info@nycvegfoodfest.com, and we can set them up with a particular skill that they want to help with, or just general volunteering duties the day of.
Okay, that sounds good. Any last things you want to add before we close?
Just come. It's from 10 to 6 on April 3rd, Sunday, April 3rd.
That's a Sunday, and, yeah.
Yeah.
And visit our Facebook page and our Twitter page. Become a fan, follow us, and get ready for 2012.
Okay. That sounds good. Well, I want to thank you for doing this. It's a huge undertaking. I personally know because I ran 5 vegan food festivals in Manhattan myself a few years back, and it is not an easy thing to do, and I'm glad someone else is doing it now.
We're excited to get it going.
Yeah, so I hope you have thousands and thousands of people, and it's a huge success, and there we go. I hope you make a tremendous difference in many people's lives. So please go to the New York City Vegetarian Food Festival. And that's all for today. You've been listening to It's All About Food. I'm Karen Hartglass, and have a very delicious week.